So, are we ready?
Yes. I'm all done. With my lunch, that is.
Okay. Should I start? Do you want to start, Daniel, saying what you have done? Or either way, is fine with me.
Yeah, let's have Daniel say what he was doing.
Okay.
So,
In terms of the project, I was looking at that CMake. Did you take a look at the CMake tutorial you gave me?
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you if you thought it was it had everything I needed in order to do to mimic the make files that you had, because I felt like they were a little bit lacking, but maybe that was just me, and maybe I should reread them again. I've been using other ones, but I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, the idea of that tutorial, it has many other things that you don't need. It's possible that there are a couple of things that you need that are not there, or maybe they're not explained in the best possible way. But it is meant to be used as a starting point. It's not by any means
complete.
All you need, right? You will have to go and do some digging on the web.
Okay, then. Yeah, I just wanted to get that cleared up because I was feeling a little dumb, I guess. So I'm glad you said that. But yeah, so I'm working on the CMake files. Unfortunately, I haven't looked at them since Saturday, to be honest, because I have to do this Ruby Rails project for my software engineering class, and I've been working on that in the weekend, but... But I feel as if I can get that done this week, and I was wondering if sometime this week we can go over some of the test results.
The test results?
Yes.
Which test results are you talking about?
Oh, I haven't given it a thorough review myself. I just kind of looked at it. I was just wondering if we could go over it and what I mean.
I'm sorry, it's not clear to me which test results you're talking about.
No, from the project. There's certain test scripts.
Oh, okay. So I'm completely lost. Do you want to tell me what you want to do and how you're doing? I have no idea what you're talking.
I think I understand a little bit about what you're thinking, maybe. So, Leo, if I understand Daniel correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think he wants to run some of the tests that are already in the project right now.
Okay.
And look at the output and make sure that it's all okay. Or maybe even how to run those tests.
Well, he has it pretty well that you just run the scripts, but I was just for him to kind of go over it with me so that I can interpret it exactly as how it should be interpreted, and I can see where everything's coming from exactly.
So how to understand the output, maybe?
Right, yeah, how to better understand and interpret the test results.
Right. One of the main goals of this new build system that we're putting together, and you're leading that effort, is to automate the tests. The idea is to have a system in which, as we make changes and we compile it automatically from a set of tests to verify that the new changes that we add are not breaking all code. As of now, the tests that I have, basically I will have to go and look at them and see what they're doing because I don't remember what they do.
Okay.
So I don't have a short answer for you. Basically, I have to look at the code, see what it's doing. Usually, the tests, they have very, very specific purpose, so it's clear what the intention is and what you're expecting from it. But ideally, what we want to do is to have, as I said, this automatic system that does all that. So you add new code, you push your changes, and before you push your changes, you actually run it. And if everything goes well, the idea is to have some sort of regression test to catch bugs earlier and basically, I hope that will improve the speed at which we make progress.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Ryu?
Yeah, I think I understand. I think, Daniel, to address your concern, once you have this migration from make to CMake, right, and you somehow plug the test in infrastructure into the CMake mechanism, right, to the workflow, let's say, then the first question I have is, do you know where the test scripts are and things like that? I guess the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Then the next thing to figure out is how to include that in the CMake build process, right? And one thing which you could do is, well, try to run the test scripts by themselves, see what the output is, and then insert it into CMake, run the whole CMake thing, look at what the output of the test scripts are, and make sure that they match all right. Right, so nothing fails in between. So that's one level of checking that you can do. The other level of checking is, well, are the test scripts even producing the right stuff? Or do I need to understand what the output of those test scripts? I think for that you'll need Leo's help, because he's the one who would tell you what those tests are doing.
Right.
I don't know which of these is your concern right now.
The latter was the focus of my question, but it seems that
former, right? Get that out of the way, and then I guess you can, because eventually what maybe you can start with is writing some more test scripts. To be able to do that, you need to understand what it is that we are trying to test. And
right.
One way to understand that would be to look at existing test scripts and see what, you know, how they test stuff.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
but I see that as a next step for what you're doing.
Okay. So just defer that for now.
Yeah, defer that for now. And Leo, if you have any other recommendation, please.
I think we have primarily two different type of tests. Ones that there are a set of tests that basically verify the correctness of internal data structures and mechanisms in the library.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, every time that I add a new data structure that has somewhat of a significant role in the library, I write unique tests for that to make sure that it does what it's supposed to do before I include that code into the library. So some of the tests, it's a little bit tricky to test, because you basically have, they don't use the entire library, but just a portion of it, and things have to, I have some like if-defined statements to make sure that I don't have to include all everything, the rest of the library, basically to make it modular and don't have all those dependencies. And there are another set of tests that are more, that are testing the library as a whole. Basically, they perform operations in the library, like allocations and things of that sort, and verify that the library is working correctly. So basically, two set of tests. Ones that are very low levels, testing specific things inside the library, data structures and things and algorithms inside the library. And the other ones is high-level functionality of the library itself. Testing allocations and things like that. But as Ryu was mentioning, I think we should first start having the build script, the CMake to build the library. And once we have that and we're happy with that, then we start incorporating the test. And I would definitely help you with that.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So, Daniel, we have all the updates from you now, right? Okay. And now let's maybe talk about, are you running into any roadblocks or anything that's preventing you or stopping you from making progress on what you need to do next? Are the next steps clear, first of all?
Yes. In terms of how I should proceed in the project,
mm-hmm.
I understand. As for roadblocks, When I last looked at the CMake I was working on, I'd have to look at it again. Nothing distressed me. That is all I can say. I just had to drop it for the time being and work on this final project. But I don't think I'm stuck. So
Okay, so now that you have your project out of the way, your class project out of the way, you anticipate making more progress this week, right?
Yes. No. Well, one, it's not out of the way. It's due Friday, but the hardest part was getting the environment and understanding what Ruby is and then what Rails is, especially for the Mac, was, I think, the hardest thing, and the rest should be easy, but I'll be working on the two in tandem this week. But okay. I should still make some progress for this week.
Okay, okay. So your next goal is to get the build process migrated to CMake. So that's the goal. Okay.
I have a good question. Do you think that you have a pretty good understanding on how the current build system works? Because that's a prerequisite before starting to create a new one.
Yes.
Is it clear for you the dependencies of how things are related and linked together?
I believe so. It didn't seem that hard. And in terms of if you're asking me what is required by what, for what reason, I may not give you all the reasons because I haven't really looked into all the source code yet, but looking at the make files, I understand, at least for the most part, what it's trying to do.
So you understand the what, you don't understand the why completely yet.
Yes.
Okay. Which is fine. I think that's
fine. That's good. Yeah. That should be good enough. The why should become clearer as you start making the test part of the system, and everything will become clear. But I guess it's better to just do it incrementally.
Okay.
Are there any other questions that you might have? and in case you run into any issues, I think Leo should be available via email, right?
Yeah. And by the way, I do have a small request. It would be good if you are a little bit more responsive with your emails, because I did send you a couple of emails asking you if everything was okay, if you needed anything else, and you never replied.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What I like to do, it's better to reply emails earlier, ideally within the day, right? At most within 24 hours. I don't expect you at this level of your career to have a huge amount of email load.
No, you're right.
So that it will take more than 24 hours. But please respond in 24 hours.
No, I'm really sorry about that, Leo. I have a tendency to always tell myself, oh, I'll get back to this at night. I'll respond to my emails at night. But
which is fine. I mean, as long as you do that.
With that. Yeah, I'm not very... I can be forgetful sometimes, so I'll try to respond to you, even if it's through my phone.
You need a personal secretary already. I can see that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to set up alarms throughout the day. Email, don't forget. But I'll try to get on top of that, Leo. I apologize.
Okay, that's fine. The email didn't say anything special. It was just asking you. If you needed anything else, just to verify that you have everything that you need. And if you have any questions at any point, you can email me. I'll try to get back to you.
By the way, I mean, don't be embarrassed to say that, I haven't made much progress because of X and Y Z reason. And I'll, as soon as I'm able to make some progress, I'll get back to you. Don't be embarrassed to say that, right?
Yeah.
If that's your response, that's fine. But it's better than no response.
Okay,
right, yeah. Because if that is the case, maybe I can give you a hint to say, the way you get around that is by doing this and that. And, and that way the whole thing makes more progress.
I understand.
Okay, don't worry.
We're also preparing you
we'll
for your
better.
Future career. Yeah. All the email etiquette is part of that. Right?
Yeah, I should get on.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, it's okay because I think, when you're working in a group, your contact, your communication skills become much more important than when you're working by yourself. It's okay if you know, when you're working by yourself, it's okay if you don't communicate promptly because it's not affecting anyone, right? But if you're collaborating with someone and others are dependent on your communication, then it becomes really important that you take communication seriously.
Yes, I mean, in terms of school groups, like everything was in text, right? So it's
text.
Like really easy.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Yeah,
Leo, you need to start texting him then.
Yeah.
I
don't know about that.
Yeah, I'll get on top of it, Leo. I'll do something about that. Sorry.
Okay. Well, in our group, we haven't migrated to texting yet, but eventually, maybe even that will happen. Okay. So, Leo, your turn now. Tell us what's going on.
Right. Last week we were talking about the new approach to optimize, and we came to the conclusion that it wasn't really going to work. That the main problem was that we were basically creating internal fragmentation in the persistent memory, which is a lot worse than in the volatile memory. I've been thinking about it, but I haven't made a lot of progress on it. So I don't have much of an update about that.
Right.
The good thing and the good news is that I'm going to be flying back to Miami as opposed to driving.
How come?
So,
what happened to your motorbike?
Oh, no. The bike is okay. It's just that the main reason why we're going to fly, why we're going to drive back is because the dog and my girlfriend was also here with me. So, but my girlfriend got a new job and the company's flying her back to Miami and she's already in Miami. So we took advantage of that expense being covered and we decided to fly the dog as well. I'm going to be flying. So I should be there next week.
Okay. But what
so
about your motorbike?
Oh, I'm shipping it back the same way that I brought it here.
Oh, you shipped the motorbike?
Yes.
I thought you towed the motorbike with your car.
That was the initial plan, but then too many variables, and I decided to keep it. I would be safe.
And what about the car then?
No, the car was a rental. I rented a car to go across the country and ship my motorcycle with the company. And then once I get here, I return the car and I use the motorcycle to get around.
Oh, I see. So you're only using the motorbike?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, then that's good. So then you all you do is ship your motorbike back and you fly with your dog.
Yeah, pretty much. So I also I don't have many updates about this project in particular. I don't know if you have some updates about this, but I do want to talk to you about how things are going here and the updates about the project here.
Okay,
I don't know if we should spend big time for that.
Well, let me ask you, there is this tracing thing that we've been talking about for a few weeks. And I don't know if you, the SQLite pointer at tracing.
Right. So, yeah, we talked about last week. I think we agreed that I will work on it once I get back.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's final. This is the final week and there's a lot going on here.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I just want us to not forget that. I think that's for the first simple optimization, that would be important. I think if you can do it when you get back, that's perfectly fine. Okay, so there's one other thing which I wanted to talk to you about is that I'm going to be communicating with Yufeng about getting access to the Burst-in Memory Emulator platform. They call it PMEP, PMEP, and the YAT, Burst-in Memory Validation Tool.
Okay.
Because I was told by the guys at Idintel that they are willing to provide those tools for our research. So I guess the first question for you is, do you have any experience with any of those yet?
I just got access to that machine yesterday.
Which machine?
There's a machine that Intel has that is an interface with students and universities.
Okay.
The machines inside Intel, they're all inside a private network. So this machine is outside, and then I have access to the machine. I can access the machine, and then that machine doesn't have those tools. There's another machine that I have that I can access through that machine specifically that does have PMFS and the program to simulate latencies. I don't know if it has the new tool, the validation tool yet, but I think we'll try to make it available on the machine as well. So I believe I should be able to access that machine even after I go back to Miami, because the account for this interface machine, it's something that is not related to my account as in Intel, but the account on the machine that actually has the infrastructure to do the testing and the validation, I will have to verify whether that one is part of my Intel account or not, because if it is, it will disappear after my contract ends.
Okay, one thing, the reason I bring it up is that so that you can communicate with Yufeng to ensure that you are able to access both these tools even after your internship, because our current project that is sponsored by Intel has agreed to make those tools available. The project manager.
Okay.
So one thing which I'll do, I'll communicate with Yufeng independently, and then I'll let you know what I find.
Okay.
I'm assuming that it'll be along the lines of, oh yes, yeah, let's do it, and I'll work with Leonardo to make it happen. And if that is the case, then I'll write to you that you need to get in touch with Yufeng and make it happen.
Right. Okay. Do you have any other questions about that?
Hold on one second, please.
Sure.
Hello? In a meeting. Let me call you back in some time. Yeah? Bye. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so that's basically it. Those two tools. I think having access to those is going to be critical for us when we write this fast paper.
Okay.
Okay. So let's. Do you want to talk about your Intel project now?
Yes. Well, first, I did have a conversation last week with Yufeng,
okay,
right after our meeting, and he agreed that, well, he told me that he does want to continue the collaboration. It's a little bit tricky to navigate through all the HR blocks, but at least he wants to do that, and he's considered a couple of options, one of which he already told me that it's not going to work. Like he was proposing basically start a new contract after this one ends with a different type of contract that would allow me to still have access to the Intel infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that that was not going to work because HR has some restrictions about some time between one contract ending and another contract starting. There has to be a gap. And the gap, I think, is about 1 year or something like that.
What?
So he's considered different options. Oh. And he even suggested, if we have to fly you here, he said, fly me here once a month, like, which sounds horrible. But at least speaks about the fact that he just wants to continue the collaboration.
Okay, that's good.
What
is it about flying once a month?
But he said that in the worst case scenario, we can fly you here once a month so you can collaborate. But then I said, well, does that mean that I will only have access to the source code once a month?
Mm.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
So, bottom line, I don't have final answer for that, but he did give me confirmation that he does want to continue the collaboration. It might be related to the fact that I finally got the compiler to work, and I've been able to compile successfully simple test cases and some simple data structures. In fact, as today, I'm just working on getting some performance numbers for my presentation that's going to take place on Thursday, end of internship presentation. So that's pretty good. We basically have a compiler that works.
Excellent.
So the next step would be to test it on bigger, more realistic programs, as opposed to the simple tests that we have been putting together. there are a few things that I would like to finish before we move on to testing bigger programs. In particular, we have already all the supports that we need to actually compile the program and generate the correct source code, but there's no type checking whatsoever in the compiler, and which makes it a little bit tricky, because to compile the code, you have to, as you know, redeclare the variables. You have to say explicitly, this variable is this pointer is a persistent pointer. And then if you forget to declare some of the pointers within the body of the function, forget to make those persistent as well, then it doesn't generate the proper code and the whole thing crashes. You basically get a segmentation fault.
Yeah.
So adding type checking to the compiler, at least to print you a warning saying, hey, you're passing this value, which is a persistent pointer, to this value that is not a persistent pointer, will be very helpful as a user of the compiler to catch those errors early on, as opposed to having to debug the code and see what's going on.
So it currently allows you to pass a volatile pointer where a persistent pointer is required.
Right. It allows you to do any of all that because there's no type checking logic in the front end yet. And of course, for a small test that we can write ourselves, it's not critical because we know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
But once we start testing it with bigger programs, that won't be the case. And we will need help from the compiler to catch those errors.
Yeah. Yeah, I see how that can be a big issue. Now, Okay, so I'm also curious about what you think are the next steps for this project that you're working on, the compilers project.
I think he seems to be satisfied with the results so far, but his main goal is to get a real application working. I think until we get something like that, it would be difficult for him to convince whoever he needs to convince that this is moving forward.
Which application are they targeting?
When Shen was here, he started doing some work on BerkeleyDB.
Okay.
I think that's one of their primary targets. Although they're also considering other applications, I think they were also considered the key value stuff from Google. What's it called?
LevelDB.
Which might not be a suitable target for us because as of now, we only have support for C. C++, support for C++ gets a little bit more tricky.
SQLite?
SQLite could be a target also that has not been considered by them, but yes, it's definitely a good target.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that one of the first use cases, and maybe the only eventual use case for anything that we do on the client side, is going to be mobile phones. I mean, a lot of people don't use computers anymore. They just use their phones to do everything, right? So the question is SQLite going to be a significant application in the future on the end user side? And are these guys looking at server side applications or end user applications? To me, the mobile phone application can be pretty attractive for PCM because, if you want to deploy PCM in volume, it makes sense to deploy them first on phones because those are the high volume device. And that's what happened with Flash as well, is that first it got deployed in phones before it started moving to servers and things like that. So looking at phone-based applications for PCM doesn't sound completely unreasonable. In fact, it may be a good thing to do.
I think that's a very good idea, and it should be very easy to convince them that this is a good idea, especially because I know other people that are part of different teams but within the same group that are doing research on mobile. So yes, I think...
right, if mobile is open, then SQLite is a very good target.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Although, basically, I think it's also used in mobiles. It's the same embedded database, right?
No, Berkeley DB is a more conventional kind of application. It was built way before any mobile phone showed up.
But I think you can also use it as a library that you link to your application.
I think so. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, you don't need a server. I think you're right.
Yeah. It's a linkable library. That's true. So it could be used on mobile phones or any end-user application as is. I see how that can happen. But SQLite is the dominant piece of software out there, at least for the Android stack. And doing it for SQLite might be easier for you because you're already somewhat familiar with that code base.
Could be. I think it is definitely more attractive, and probably the complexity will be similar. So, yeah, let's go with the more attractive one.
I think SQLite is a good idea. Now, the question is, what are those guys? I mean, it's a matter of convincing Yufeng or whoever it is that... that you need to convince there about, what to use as a target application. I think they're looking at various, Intel is too big, right? And they are, sometimes they're looking out at all kinds of potential customers for PCM. So they may have different applications in mind as well.
That's true. Yeah, depending on which group you're on, they have a different perspective of things.
Yeah. And it seems like you are in a group by yourself at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. And to my surprise, the main contributor to this project, well, not to this project, but at least to the actual code that have been written for this code for this project, which have been Lex, is going to be leaving the group.
Meaning permanently or temporarily?
Permanently. He will be in Intel, but he's going to be in a different group that is now managed by UFAN.
Uh-huh. But he is accessible, right?
I guess he will. I don't know how good is the intergroup communication here.
Oh, you can always go to his cubicle and knock on his door, can't you?
I think that would be the case because it would be even in the same building. I think he would be working in the compiler group.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's maybe he will be even more interested in this project if he moves to the compiler group. No?
It may be. I don't know.
Well, one thing which I'm... I really want you to think about that, and I told you this last time as well, is the paper and how to sell the work. I think if you can sell it, if you can come up with a good story, then the people will start getting on board. Even the people who may seem uninterested right now, if you can convincingly tell the story, they may choose to give you more of their attention.
Well, I'm putting together a presentation
okay.
that talks about this project. Hopefully, new ideas come out of that.
So Thursday is when you start the you do the presentation, and then when do you finish?
Friday is my last day.
Oh wow. The good thing is you can take all your work with you.
I'm not entirely sure about that.
Yeah?
If we cannot find a way to continue this collaboration, I might not be able to take my work with me.
Okay, so you have 4 days to get this sorted out then. To figure out how to continue this collaboration. All you need is one sponsor who will be there and say that, okay, I want to continue this work. It may be Yufeng, it may be someone else, but you need one person so that you don't end up wasting all the work that you did. Oh, well, it's not a waste, never a waste, but it's not going to yield as much of a return as you would like.
Yes.
You have 4 days or 3 days, whatever, however you count.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems to me that all I can do is to keep pinging you, fam. Like, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Have you found a way to make it? There's nothing else that I can think of.
How about, do they have something like a part-time contract?
I honestly don't know. I can imagine that is the case. But I think the same restrictions apply, right? That you cannot finish one contract and start another one. I don't know.
Now, the stuff that you're doing is all, the LLVM stuff. What I'm hoping will, should happen is that once Cheng returns, I think he is the one who's very invested in this project that you're working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once Cheng returns, you can re-establish contact with him and continue your work on this project. That is what I'm expecting should happen. In the best case. So for that to happen, what is it that you need to do? I think it might be a good idea for you to talk to Yufeng about that. Have you talked to Yufeng about this possibility with Cheng?
Continuing the work with Cheng?
Yeah.
But I think Cheng will continue this work, whether I am in the picture or not.
Right, but since you already made quite a bit of progress during your internship, I think it's in Cheng's interest to continue the work that you did.
I believe so, yes. Especially, yes, we have made significant progress. I thought that I was going to be able to take with me this code, since it was based on an open source project, but that's not the case because the new ideas being added to it are not open source ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually the case. But Well, let me try to get in. I need to get in touch with Yufeng. I'll bring this up as well and see what I can do.
Okay.
I'll get back to you, Leo. Hopefully in a day or two before you come back.
Okay. is there anything else? I think that's about it. That's my update. I'm sorry that I have to sit through all this, that is completely irrelevant for him.
It's okay. It's a good insight into how stuff is done in internships and inside of academia and with industry.
Yeah, the collaborations are always the challenging part. And a company like Intel, which is a lot more difficult because it's a very mature company, they have a lot more rules and systems in place to protect what they think is their IP. I think it makes things a lot more challenging for the collaboration to continue. I mean, if
I mean, I'm Leo. This is my first experience collaborating with Intel, and I wanted to. I was hoping that it will turn out to be a good experience. And by good, I mean that the collaboration continues and you get to complete what you start. I think that's important, and I hope it we can still make it happen. I'm going to talk to you, Feng, and we'll see what
yeah.
can be done.
So do I. I think this is a really interesting project, and I would love to see it through. Just need to find a way to make it happen.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so I guess we'll meet next week at the same time.
Are you going to be in Miami by then?
I hope so, yes.
Okay, yes, same time, 1 p.m. That works. It'll be 1 p.m. Miami time.
Okay. Well, Daniel, I don't know if I have time to meet up with you during this week. As I mentioned before, it's my last week, and there are a couple of things that I need to get done before I leave.
No, I understand.
That doesn't mean that if you do have a question, and you can formulate that as an email, send it to me, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. It's just that I don't know if I have time to actually sit with you and see what's going on.
So,
now you're on your own.
Well, that's just 1 week, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Leo, we'll see you here in Miami next week, and I'll get in touch with you hopefully prior to that. And in the best case, prior to your presentation on Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye, Leo.